All right, guys, so we're going to get started in just about 60 seconds here. I'm just going to get you guys muted on my end, which makes the recording a little bit better. All right, it is January 19th, and we are on a week two of the self-love program, and this is week two of the conference call. So I can't wait to hear how you guys have been doing this week and how the foundation went. And we'll have a little bit of time to do that a little bit later, see how you guys were doing. And this week we're going to be talking about gratitude. No, I'm sorry. We're going to be talking about a bunch of things. But we're going to start off talking about Seva. I'm going to go through the PDF that I sent everybody a little bit and then also just do some separate topics a little bit along the way, get you guys excited about next week as well. So first of all, last week was great. The conference call had over half of the attendees on the live call, which is wonderful. The playback call, however, had a little bit of lacking. So some people still need to make sure that they listen to week one and get caught up, even if you already think you know the foundation because you've been doing it or you've done it before. There's lots of new information. So be sure that if you're on this call and you haven't listened to week one yet, that you definitely go back and listen to week one for sure. So, and that your homework for last week was just to really stick to the foundation, be really clear about each part of the foundation and how it affects you and all your different bodies, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. So week two is all about seva. Seva means service. In Sikhism, seva refers to selfless service for altruistic purposes on behalf of and for the betterment of a community. Sikhs have a tradition of seva. A sevador is one who performs seva through philanthropic, voluntary, selfless service. That's really a lot of information in one little paragraph there. If you haven't heard the word seva before or experienced it, there's actually a couple of companies, and one company in particular that I worked for a short period of time, that started up a seva platform within their company. And it was a way of them giving back, even though they weren't nonprofit. It was a way of them giving back to their local community, which is really, really beautiful. The one thing I wanted to be clear on is where it says selfless service. Selfless service does not mean by any way, shape, or form that you sacrifice yourself, that you sacrifice an area of your physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual body for someone else. Now, of course, there's always compromise. Of course, there's always, a level of willingness. And as a mother, of course, I, throw myself on the train tracks for my son. That's a little bit different. When we're talking about seva and doing good things, being of service, giving, in whatever form, we always want to make sure that we have enough to give, whether it's energy, whether it's time, whether it's money, whatever it is, we want to make sure that we are filled. So when it says selfless service, this means that you are being of service without attachment to the result. Okay? And, that can be really difficult for some of us. We may think we're just giving from the bottom of our hearts and being really clear about being non-attached. But if then we see a little bit later that what we did to be of service or what money we gave to be of service or time or energy or whatever the case may be isn't continuing in that person's life, we have to make sure that we're not triggered. And we'll get to a little bit more of when people don't continue in a healthy way when you give to them and how to deal with that. So let's go back to the PDF for a little bit. The rewards are quite often greater than the rewards of the giver are quite often greater than the receiver. So, in other words, you don't have to think about what am I going to get out of giving to this person, to this place, to this community, what have you. You will receive so much satisfaction and so much gratitude. And, just the fact that all of you on the call and all of you listening in the future are interested in self-love and are on some kind of spiritual path, whether you're working with me or you're working, you know, at a spiritual center or whatever the case may be, it really says that you are already in the vein of knowing your truth. You're already on the path of knowing the cycle of giving and receiving. So I wouldn't doubt for a second that everyone in this program knows how to give. And on days when they feel they have enough, they do give. The goal of this week is that you watch for opportunities to give. You watch for opportunities to be of service. And you practice the non-attachment to the result. We all have bad days, whether it's a disagreement, physical pain, or just a cranky morning. Ego moves in when it sees any opportunity to bring us down, any opportunity at all, and ego's going to jump right in. Well, so far you've received four tools of the foundation that support the shift of a bad day. The gratitude journal is definitely key. We talk a lot about the gratitude journal in week one, about how it can shift a perception, how it can shift a mood, how it can shift something, you know, even really traumatic. The gratitude journal is beautiful, beautiful tool for that. We spend a lot of time on wanting good service. I mean, if you're on this call and you're in Sedona, you know that it can be a real issue finding really good service, especially like at restaurants and shops and customer service and this sort of thing. And we have a tendency, just as Americans, to be very demanding of customer service, and our expectations are really high. This gives us an opportunity to be of service and to really show in an example and exemplify to the world, not to any particular person, individual, but to the world and to the energies that be, what it is that we would like to receive when it comes to that kind of service, that customer service idea. And I am a very big believer in the universal truth of that you get what you give. Somebody recently asked me about karma, and this isn't actually in the PDF. This is just a little sidebar. Somebody was recently asking me about karma, and I hadn't really thought about it very much lately. And I find that as we move down our spiritual path, that we don't think so much about things that might have ramifications because we are staying in our true self. But somebody had, you know, been talking about some things that from their past that they didn't really feel all that great about, which we all have, those skeletons in the closet of one form or another. And they asked about karma and does karma come back to get you? And it's a good question in regards to this week. Well, my belief, as well as many spiritual, current spiritual leaders' belief, is that karma is actually a man-made situation. It's a man-made thing. Karma, you know, God didn't create karma, and by no means, if that's what you believe, that's fine, but in my belief system, God did not create karma. We, as human beings, created the idea of karma when we created ego. So, once again, as I touched on last week, we are all God, because we all come, all of our fractals of life that shine those beautiful different colors on the wall of life after they go through the crystal, but before they go through the crystal, it's one bright burning sun, and that sun is God. Without that sun shining through the crystal, we would not exist. So somewhere along the way, we decide collectively as a collective soul that we are going to believe in the dream of being separate from God. So in order for ourselves to do that, to believe in this illusion of being separate from God, we created ego. And ego then, in turn, we create body in the form that we know it now. And in turn, we create karma. So karma comes true. Karma can happen. And I've seen like instant karma, thank you, John Lennon, many times because of our beliefs, because of ego. It is not a God-made thing. So how does that relate to self-love? Well, we don't want to be worried about karma coming to get us or wondering when we're going to have our payback for all those good things I did. And that's where it ties into week two and seva, selfless service, being of service, giving, tithing, all of that, all of those things in this category. It comes back because of the non-attachment piece. So we give, we gift, and we let go. We don't expect, we don't assume, we don't wait for whatever it is that we have given to return back to us. We trust and we know that it is happening. So let's move on. Let's see, where are we? Being of service by being present, being helpful, and being kind is simple and healthy. If you took just a few minutes every day where you could be the most useful, if you opened your heart to the possibilities just being of service in general, and asked God, the divine creator, Yoda, whoever, to show you how to be of service, what if you gave just 10% of your time to some sort of cause that moved you? Now, there are many ideas. Some of these ideas listed in your PDF are super big commitments, and some are very small. But there really is no measure of seva. There is no measure of service. You have to know what you can afford, quote-unquote, based on how full you are. So if you've just finished a week, 7 days in a row, of the foundation, you should be feeling pretty full and pretty, you know, ready to gift and to give and to be in the flow of the energy exchange of the world. Try the simple acts of kindness first and then offer a little more. And if you feel called to look into a charity or a nonprofit, et cetera, that's great. But know that no matter what form your service or giving takes, you will quickly see how this conscious choice is related to self-love. So you can start in your own town, your school, your church, your synagogue, your spiritual center, whatever the case may be. Or you can just, you know, go for a walk. Me and the dog and the kids sometimes just go for a walk and we pick up trash all over the neighborhood, all but down by the creek or at the beach for you guys. Or wherever you go, you can always pick up trash. You can help somebody at the grocery store to reach something on a high shelf, to read a label, to answer a question. Half the time I think people think I work in grocery stores because I answer so many questions, because in Sedona we have a lot of tourists and I go to Safeway like every day for some reason. It seems like I never get out of there. Or I never have a day that I don't make it to Safeway at some point. Anyhow, and just being of service in that way, just asking, how can I be of service today? And in just a little bit, actually we can jump down. One of the things that is really helpful for me personally in the being of service area is asking first thing in the morning. My morning prayer, one of the pieces of my morning prayer, is very simple. It centers my soul. And if you guys try it, I think you're going to love it. It centers my soul, and it sets the intention for the day to be in divine service, whatever that means to you. It could be as simple as smiling at everybody that you see that day. It could be, you know, being on a board and volunteering your time. Or, I mean, last night we went to India. RE was in town and had a concert. It was so magnificent to be there. And what was really beautiful is our spiritual center, Unity of Sedona, was like made up like over half of the volunteer team. It was so cool to see people being of service. Now, of course, they also get to see an amazing concert. So that's like instant karma, right? I'm a volunteer and I'm going to get to see this amazing concert all at the same time. It's really phenomenal to me how many opportunities there are when we don't maybe have the funds to go see a concert, for example, and the ability to volunteer and get to see that for free. So you're getting something so magnificent. I have to tell you, she was phenomenal in concert. It was so moving. I'll tell you more about that later maybe. And at the same time, being of service and being kind. And I watched a lot of my peers, you know, from Unity, just being of such beautiful service and so in their hearts and so warm, feeding people and answering questions. It was a simple task, but I know that it meant a lot. It was really beautiful. So back to the prayer. So part of the prayer that I say in the morning is, Beloved Mother, Father God, Beloved Mother, Father God, please show me how to serve today, where to go, who to meet, and what to say. I'm open to serve however needed. I trust the opportunities will present themselves as I walk into my day with deep gratitude for all my gifts and all I have to offer, and so it is. So you're giving gratitude for what it is you are going to do that day. You are setting your intention to be of service. You are surrendering that God, Creator, Divine, will show you exactly how you can be of service that day, that you are wide open to receive that information. So when you say that prayer, you'll notice throughout the day that you really do pay a lot more attention to who needs support, who needs some service in this moment. Please don't rush into some big, you know, charity organization and start donating, you know, 20 hours of your time every single week. Be conscious with this. Just like with the foundation, I said, don't go from never meditating all the way to 20 minutes morning and night right off the bat, because most likely your ego is not going to let you get away with that. Your ego is going to have issues, and it's going to slow you down, and you're going to fail, quote unquote. And when we fail, of course, the ego comes in and sees that as a huge opportunity of vulnerability on your part, and the next thing you know, you're not meditating anymore. So start with the simple things and build up to something bigger if you feel called. Maybe, you know, giving a smile to everybody you see is what you have to offer, and that's beautiful and absolutely fine. Find the way you want to be of service. One of my favorite quotes by Gerbon, I'm not sure how he says his last name, Cahill, they give that they may live. They give that they may live, for to withhold is to perish. Oh, my God. That line just blows my mind. We give so that we may live. And not living like breathing, but living like experiencing this lifetime. Because to withhold our gifts, to not give of our gifts, whether the gift is a smile or whatever the task may be, how big or small, it doesn't matter, is to perish, is to die. That is so, oh my God, it just cracks my heart open, I have to say. It feels, that line from him feels to me very much like when I found my soul's purpose. When I found that I wanted to be a spiritual counselor, a spiritual healer, a spiritual leader, a spiritual speaker, and I knew that's what I had to do. There was nothing that could get in my way from doing it. And I feel like a huge part of me would have actually died within me if I didn't do what it is that I'm called to do. And I feel so grateful, not just for my gifts, but for everyone that gives me the opportunity to actually do my soul's purpose. It cracks my heart wide open every time I read that quote. And I also, in the PDF I sent you, included the entire poem. It's just so beautiful, so beautiful. For to withhold is to perish. That's a really nice statement maybe to put on your mirror in the bathroom. It's like an affirmation. And you could change it to, I give that I may live. I give so that I may live that full, radiant, amazing, gratifying life. So, and believe me, I have seen the death of many a soul. Oh my gosh, and I know everybody listening to the call has seen the death of many a soul from not giving and sharing those talents. I mean, we all know somebody that ended up working in corporate America or as a whatever, you know, fill in the blank, a banker or a whatever. It doesn't matter. There's no judgment on what it is that the person didn't want to be doing. But that piece of you that perishes is the dream. It's that creative outlet. And, you know, this isn't, in the transformation program, we go much deeper into what is your soul's purpose and how do you live it and, you know, what happens if you don't. But it's the same thing as seva. It's the same thing as giving. When we realize our gift, we cannot keep them inside. So the journey to know what it is we have to give is part of seva. So week two that we're in now for the next 7 days, asking to be of service and being shown how to be of service is living your soul's purpose. You may go throughout the day and doing some smiles and helping somebody, you know, helping an old lady that dropped a potato on the ground or something, or, you know, really just being present to what's needed, but you may find your niche. A lot of people find their niche in life, their soul's purpose in some form of seva. And personally, I believe that there is no soul's purpose that doesn't somehow include giving back and being of service, whether it's globally or in our own homes or in our community. Now, there is something such as over-giving. And we kind of touched on this in the beginning, but this is one of the reasons we practice self-love. In order to have enough of anything to give, we must fill up. And in order to fill up, we must begin with self-love. So you can see the connection, I'm sure. Self-love fills you up. We become full with love, and then we have enough to share. And, you know, here's the synchronicity. One of the best ways to fill up with love is to give, because when we give, we receive so much. So it's a cycle of giving and receiving. It's a constant energy exchange. We must be able to receive as well. I know a few people that are very good at giving, but they're terrible at receiving, even terrible at receiving just a compliment. But every time we receive, like truly accept a gift, we give someone the opportunity to be of service. We give someone the opportunity to be the giver. So we are also giving when we're receiving, because we are giving that opportunity. I'm sure that makes sense to you guys. I mean, it's not a difficult concept. It's just a complete circle constantly. So on this whole new journey, many people find out their calling in service, like we said. And some people will just find sheer joy, just, right? And some people find deep gratitude. But being of service will be different for everyone. But it will still be the same in whatever way and capacity will be absolutely rewarding for sure. Being of service centers our soul in the big picture. It brings clarity to our perspective. It shines a light on where we are on our path. Don't make it a big task in the beginning, like we said. Try asking the divine for a little help. Try the morning prayer. If you try that prayer every morning and you're gentle with yourself, that's very important, and you take the risk to offer your help and be of service every day in some way, you will be practicing seva. It's also great to begin the process of seva by serving your authentic self. So this is seva for the self. Seva for the self. That's like a whole new thing, right? Seva for the self is to really look into your soul, look into your divinity, into your authentic self, into your ego, into your human body, into the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual bodies, and find out where it needs a little more love. And this ties into the concept which some of you have heard me talk about before. Where is God missing in my life? Where is love missing in my life? And bringing seva in and serving the self, serving the mental body with morning pages, the physical body with yoga or walking or whatever, the emotional body with a gratitude journal, and the spiritual body with meditation, all of that self-love is also self-seva. We are also serving ourselves, which is very important. You know, self-serving has a terrible connotation, so I wouldn't go around telling people you're doing a program of self-serving, you know, but to realize where things are needed in our own life. And just briefly, since we have a little bit of time, the concept of asking where God is not in our lives is very simple. And I believe the first time I heard this concept was at University of Santa Monica. And the second place I heard this concept was from Michael Murdad. And it was so, so powerful. You look at your life and you do an inventory, which we're going to actually do an inventory, and there'll be more stuff coming up that you're going to really enjoy next week. In fact, week 3 is an inventory of our lives. So this is a little sneak peek at next week. Next week, you'll receive the PDF, and it'll have a worksheet on it that you will fill out. And part of it is doing an inventory. Some of my clients, some of you on the phone right now or listening later, have done the self-inventory before. And it's a huge piece of self-love. And it's a great tie-in to, it's a really good moving from week 2, being of seva, to self, to God, to others, and moving into week 3 to take an inventory of your life. So just for a moment while you're on the phone, you don't have to write anything down at this point because you'll do plenty of it in week 3, but just for a moment on the phone, think about your life. Think about, let's start with your family, whether your family is a husband or a wife or a child or a mother or grandparents, or your family is your spiritual center and your friends and those that you work with, or your family is your coworkers, whatever family means to you. And we're just going to take that category in particular right now and take the inventory and kind of rate it. Like, how am I doing on family? Am I at a 10? Is it like the most blissful experience when I spend time with my family? And again, family can be whatever it is to you, whatever family is to you. Doesn't have to look like the traditional kind of family by any means. And give it a rating, 10, completely blissful, 1, absolutely in the dumps, falling apart. So you do that with there's family. And then let's say let's do partnership. Instead of just a big picture of family, let's put your partnership. Are you not in a partnership right now? So it'd probably be on the lower end of the scale if you're not in a one-on-one others partnership. But what about the partnership with self? How's that partnership going? Maybe you're not in a relationship right now, so that's a lower rating because or a non-existent rating. You could just give it a 5 because it's neutral because it's not present in your life right now. But how's your relationship with God? Maybe that's a 10. Maybe you're feeling very spiritual and very blissed out and very positive about your God relationship right now. And then ask, well, how's my relationship with myself? What areas do I need to invite God into? Maybe you are, when you break down into the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual bodies, maybe you give yourself a nice 7, 8, 9, or 10 in the emotional and the mental and the spiritual, but perhaps the physical is really lacking. Perhaps you haven't yet made it to an actual yoga class since the beginning of the year. Perhaps you are not eating exactly what you want to be eating or whatever the case may be. So you find in your life where these lower ratings are. And it's not about being in judgment. Please don't confuse it. This is a mastery tool in taking an evaluation of where you are at as a human being and as a divine child of God. When you find some of those lower numbers, I would say definitely, you know, put attention on anything below a 7 and, you know, really get some attention on those things below a 5 or a 4 for sure. But when you see those lower scores in there, just simply take a deep breath and ask, is God present in my physical body? Is God present in my financial body? Is God present in my emotional body? Because wherever the score, quote unquote, the rating of your inventory is lower, God is not being invited into that place. Now, don't get me wrong, God is everywhere in all things, and you know, it's not like he's not there. And when I say he, I mean he, she, mother, father, you know, let's not get into that. But the energy of God, of creator, of the divine, is everywhere all the time. But let's say that things are going really well in your life, but you're extremely lacking finances. Well, you have to really take a look at that. Has God been invited? Have you allowed, have you opened your eyes and turned the light on to see God in your finances? This is also, believe it or not, a piece of seva, because to be of service to yourself, to rise up to a mastery level of self-love, which allows you to be so much more available to other people and to this planet and to God and to yourself, you must take this evaluation and find out where you need to be more realized that God is there. Michael Murdad here at Unity of Sedona does a great talk on this particular topic about inviting God into all areas of your life. And the two areas that are least likely to have God invited to are money and sex, right? I mean, that's it right there. Maybe politics would fall in there too. You know, all the things you're not supposed to talk about on the first date, right? So this is something to think about. So if you have a financial worry or a physical worry, we'll just take those in the material world for a second, and you can do a prayer, which I'll do for you in a second, but you invite God into those areas of your life. That is an act of seva. You are going in and you are helping yourself, you are supporting yourself and asking what your needs are, feeding those needs, filling yourself up, and then being able to turn right around and give it away. Not give away the money that you just earned, though, yes, I highly recommend 10% tithing at all times, and that's coming up in a future week as well, and we will go into great detail with that. But it is very, very important that when we fill up, if we want to keep filling up, we keep the energy exchange going, and that cycle is so beautiful and so natural. So finding your authentic self, serving your authentic self, allowing the ego to rest while you ask authentically what it is that you truly need in your life. Begin by giving yourself something that you've needed or desired, then receive it in honesty and love. Maybe it's as simple as asking your partner or a friend or whoever for a back massage, a date night, a movie, a break from your to-do list. Starting Deva with a gift to yourself is a nice beginning to fill up and have plenty to offer. But don't forget the same is true. When you give, you receive. So you can decide. Okay, so here's the breakdown. I'll give you the breakdown from week 2 of how to approach it. This is in your PDF as well. Let's see if we can get through this clearly, and then we'll open it for a couple questions, and then we'll come back in with a prayer and a little meditation too. So number 1, you're going to continue to give to yourself by practicing self-love through the foundation. Make your commitment solid and steady. Do not be hard on yourself when you miss something. You're going to miss something. I missed something during the first week of foundation of this program. You're going to miss something, and it's fine. Just recommit and do it as soon as you can. Just like in meditation, you're trying to clear your mind, and somebody or something keeps coming in. Just keep coming back to center, keep finding your breath, or like I still do on occasion, write down what keeps coming in your mind, come back to center, breathe back in, and there you are. There's no opportunity for judgment. There's no need for forgiveness because there is no judgment. Number 2, set the intention each day with the prayer written above or in your own words, the prayer that we said together, Mother, Father, God, show me what to do, how to do it, when to do it, et cetera, et cetera. You can be as specific and as detailed as you want in that prayer. Sometimes it's just a simple, God, show me what to do today to be of service, and that's it. I mean, remember that prayer isn't about your words. This is a hang-up a lot of people have, and it's so simple that a prayer doesn't really even need words. We need words. We're the ones that need the words to understand what we're asking for. We're the ones that need to, you know, wrap meaning around our prayer. A prayer isn't energy. A prayer is just simply settling in and that energy directed towards God. And yes, we can ask for things. We can wish for things. We can, you know, you can even make deals if you need to. If you feel like that's a great idea for yourself, you know, give it a shot. See what happens. But ultimately, a prayer is a deep surrender. A deep surrender, no matter what you're praying for. If you want a response, if you want answer, if you want that sign you're asking for, you must surrender to see it. You must surrender to see it. So don't get caught up on the languaging of the prayers or even the languaging of the meditation. Just whatever words, whatever thoughts put you in the state of being able to give and to be able to receive. That's what's important. So when you do the prayer or set your intentions in the morning, ask how you can be of divine service You will guaranteed be offered options throughout the day. It is a fact. Be conscious to them and take action. If you notice there's something I could do over here that is could be being of service, but, you know, I'm not really feeling it right now, or I don't want anybody to see me do that, or whatever. If you turn down the opportunity too many times, you're going to build up a cynical kind of wall around yourself, and you may not be able to notice the opportunities when you could be of service. Now, if you see something over here that needs attention, you see somebody, you know, with the sign on the street corner that needs help, money, food, diapers, whatever, and you don't have any cash in your wallet, well, you cannot do anything in that moment. You could go and get some and bring it back to them if you'd like, but you have to weigh that out. So I'm not saying that if you pass up an opportunity to be of service, that you'll never get it again, but you need to pay attention because those are your opportunities. And number 3, for the week, be present, watch for those opportunities. Listen to the words and the silence of others. Pretend you are a superhero and your power is Seva. Super Seva! Number 4, enjoy. Allow your miracles and write about your experiences. This week of Seva should be so joyous, so celebratory, so exciting, exciting to be of service, to help your fellow brother or sister. Huge. So, so beautiful. Going on, I'm going to tell a bit. I mean, I wrote this story in the PDF, and I'll just retell it briefly here on the call. Many of you might know Gabby Bernstein. She's kind of a hip, young, spiritual speaker and author that's come up in popularity the last, I don't know, maybe 3, 4, 5 years. And Gabby tells a story when, and this wasn't that long ago, a big storm hit New York City. I don't remember what kind of storm it was or what the name of it was, but a big storm comes in, hits New York City. She's evacuated from her apartment, and she's stuck in a hotel room in Times Square. Times Square, of course, as you guys know, is much nicer than it used to be. So it wasn't a situation. She was in a hotel. She got evacuated. It was a bummer. And she says, this isn't my, you know, I'm not making this up. She said that she was in there feeling sorry for herself, feeling upset, you know, pissed off, she wanted to be back at her apartment, blah, 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 you know the story. You know how we can be. And at a particularly low point, her friend, Marianne Williamson, who, I mean, just, who gets a call from Marianne? I mean, that's just crazy. She calls her and she says, well, she calls and she listens to all of Gabby's pain and Gabby's painful, and I'm using air quotes, painful situation, and she tells Gabby to go to ground zero. Go to where the storm is the worst and the people need the most help and be of service. I mean, that is like brilliant advice. You're feeling bad about something. You're feeling like a victim. You're feeling like your life is so terrible and how are you going to go on? Get off up your butt. And my old boss used to say, put on your big girl panties and go help and go serve. Go be of service and go where you can be the most good, where you can do the most good. So she did. She not only went and gave of herself and her time and her energy, but she was rewarded beyond words with a shift in her perspective. She no longer felt the pain. She was giving and receiving, and she was joyous. I just love that story. So this is your week to give. This is your week to give and to receive and to listen and to be present. One of the things I mentioned in number three, be present, watch for the opportunities, listen to the words and the silence of others. Listen to the silence of others. This evening, in fact, right now, in this very moment, I can hear people arriving because Trees and I are hosting the first talking circle here at the house, at the tree house, as we call it. And we're very excited to do this. And talking circle is so beautiful because you have an opportunity to tell your story without anyone giving advice, without anyone referring to it or ever even talking about it again. So it gives you the perfect, loving, sacred container to house your story, whatever it may be. It's really quite a beautiful experience. If you've never been to a talking circle before and you're in Sedona, we'll have them monthly here at the house. And if you are outside of Sedona, you know, look it up. There might be a talking circle at a local spiritual center or, you just maybe want to look it up. It's really a beautiful experience. And it, too, is a way of practicing seva. It's a way of being of service. When you sit in the circle, you are to listen. Not plan out what you're going to say next, which is very difficult for most of us. Not be in a place of judgment while you're listening to so-and-so talk about their troubles, but to just let it be. And don't get me wrong, Talking Circle is not all about people talking about their troubles. It's beautiful, insightful, wonderful information, an exchange of beautiful information, and quite often, beautiful support opportunities. You know, in the 90s, I mean, I guess they still say it, you know, networking. I always like to say, you know, it's just a support opportunity. I'm going to give to you, you're going to receive, you're going to give to someone else, I may receive. It's an energy exchange and a beautiful cycle of support. So I don't think too many of you are on the live call tonight, but let me go back to unmuting you guys here. Let me figure out how to do that really quick. Listen only mode, host control meeting. Here's a new caller control. Okay, so I'm going to Okay, So you guys are unmuted. If anybody's on the line and they want to, number one, share their experience of the foundation in week one and how that worked for you. And number two, if anybody has any questions in regards to week two and the opportunities for SEVA. And if somebody could just let me know that you can speak and that I did unmute you, that'd be great.
Hello?
Hello. I guess that means you are unmuted. That's good. Would you like to share anything? Do you have any questions, or would you like to share a little bit about the foundation week one?
Well, I'm having, I guess, trouble getting started with the foundation. I get it. It's just getting going. Does that make sense?
Oh, honey, it makes a lot of sense.
That's kind of where I'm at right now. So, but I'm still progressing one day at a time.
So, did you have any luck with any part of the foundation? Like, were you able to do one piece of it? Or is it just the whole thing seems too big?
Well, it's not that it seems too big. I guess the obstacle of procrastination.
Yes, I'm very familiar with that one.
Is the obstacle I'm trying to step over right now. So, no, yeah. I'm just, like I said, I'm happy to be a part of this to help me get through that.
So let me offer you a little bit of support because, you know, the foundation is, it's not easy. I mean, it is easy once you start doing it. It's not a challenging task by any means. But it's not easy to go from nothing to these four rituals that you need to do every day or that you're being asked to do every day. In your case with the procrastination factor, which I think is, you know, 99% of our world are procrastinators, so you're definitely not alone by any, you know, stretch of the imagination here. For what I hear you saying and energetically what I feel you saying is that the intention to get started on it feels, you just keep putting it off and putting it off. And I really commend you, yeah, for, you know, being present on the call. I mean, that's great. And if you were present last week on the call during the live call, you know, that's amazing. That's beautiful. And you understand and you get the foundation. So maybe give yourself a little bit of a break and start tonight with just the gratitude journal. Just before you go to bed, just
right.
10 things you're grateful for. Simple. Just one little thing. Just the gratitude journal tonight. And then tomorrow, instead of waking, go ahead.
Well, I find that, you know, two or three days I can get up and I can write and, you know, do this. And then it's like, oh, I didn't do the gratitude journal. So you're right. I mean, it's showing up every day to try to do what you need to do.
And Eve, and remember, I mean, I created this foundation thing, and I still don't do it all every single day. I mean, that's my intention. Some days I do, and it's great, but, you know, I'm not going to lie. Some days I don't get to the gratitude journal. I pass out before I even, you know, get a pencil. I mean, you know, we're human, and our egos are very, very tricky in getting us to think we don't need to do it, or it won't be so bad, or blah, blah, blah. But like any habit that we make, you know, we brush our teeth twice a day. You know, we have habits, and once we create the habit for so many days, they say, some people say 21 days, some people say 40 days, it, you know, whatever, it doesn't really matter. But once you get into the flow of things, my day looks so different when I do the morning pages and when I do not do the morning pages. It is day and night. So for me, that's really a beneficial habit to be in, because just like brushing your teeth, it's going to be a better day if you get it brushed, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. I really do. Because the first, like, 3 days, I, you know, woke up, grabbed the pen. Sometimes it was very unlegible to read that evening, you know, what I went to do, what I was grateful for. But, you know, then I got up for work late, didn't do it. You know what I'm saying. But I like, so, you know, I like being a part of this.
So
making me conscious and aware.
Good. Beautiful. That's wonderful. What was the difference between the first 3 days where you got the pen and you did the writing and then the last 3 days? Like, what shifted from the first 3 days to the last 3 days? Did you feel a lack of motivation or a lack of intention? Or
there was not a lack of motivation. It was more, I was preparing for taxes. So my mind was completely focused on something else. But yet, I was very grateful that I had this in the back of my life, you know, to calm me down with my meditation. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
It was like, okay, now this is here. I know it's on the back burner. Today is, we got to get our inventory, you know, under control. And then tomorrow, like I said, there was a different feeling, not necessarily a shift, just a different mind focus. So now I need to learn to blend it all together.
Yeah, and we're always looking for balance. We always want to be balanced. Now, if you have the beautiful opportunity to take 40 days off and just do self-love all day, that'd be awesome. But, you know, most of us don't have that opportunity.
Yeah.
So, you know, the balance is very important. And, again, I would break it down. So instead of I have to do this foundation, it's a bigger thing. It's, you know, something easier to put off because it's so big it doesn't feel achievable. Or once you get behind, it doesn't feel like you can catch up. So just make it really small. Like tonight I'm going to do the gratitude journal, wake up in the morning, reach for the pen. The other thing that you might start to notice too is that first of all, the morning pages, you know, it doesn't matter if you can read them. It doesn't matter if you have punctuation. It doesn't matter what you write. Eventually it will become more comfortable for you and you will be able to read it and you will be able to pull from it. And eventually you can actually ask your subconscious questions. You can set an intention before you sleep. You wake up, you have the answer, and you write it down. So there is a method and a means to the end with the morning pages. There is something that comes more out of it as you keep doing it. But one of the key things that people that have done the morning pages for a long period of time, and in fact people that have done the foundation for a considerable amount of time, the benefits of what they see, you said you had to do taxes. Well, had you committed and were able to move through the foundation during the time that you were doing taxes and inventory and all this stuff, you would have moved through them easier. You would have been more gentle with yourself. It would have actually flowed better with the self-love. And that's a piece that, you know, I can sit here for another hour and tell you guys that, it, you know, your whole life gets affected and feels better by this, but you have to have that experience. It's like going to the gym. Oh, my God, that is the last place I want to go ever, ever, ever in my entire life is the gym. And yet when I do go, or even to yoga class or Pilates or for a hike or whatever, I'm not a naturally physically active human being. I'm just not naturally like that. But I feel so much better. My whole life is different when I actually move my body. And, you know, you can't really tell people that. You have to have that experience. And it sounds like you did. It sounds like you had that experience in the beginning when you were able to get 3 days in. 3 days is good. That's good. Don't be hard on yourself. This isn't self-judgment program. This is self-love program.
Gotcha.
Good. And anybody else that's live now or listening later, if you didn't get to, you know, do 7 days of the foundation, great. Who cares? It's fine. It's no big deal. You didn't do it, now you're going to do it. That's all you can do. You just have to refocus and recommit. And if you did do 7 days of the foundation, that's amazing. That is so, so beautiful. Just the act of doing it in general is such a huge filling of self-love. You must feel so full and so grateful for supporting yourself in that way. It's really, really beautiful. And lots of attempts, you know, and the more you try, the more you will succeed. You know, you're going to fail sometimes, and that's absolutely fine. So did you have any questions besides the foundation?
No, not yet.
Okay. Yeah, it's pretty basic. I mean, it's not rocket science or anything, but there is a process, and this is for everybody to hear. There is a process of why each week comes when it does. It definitely builds and it's creating something that we're working towards the end. So that's what you're doing this week. If anybody else has any questions or comments, just chime in here. We're almost done with our call. And I'm going to go down to our talking circle here tonight. I can hear people munching on the potluck and I'm getting hungry. So let's see, what else do I want to say about Deva? the morning prayer. Oh, I was going to give you a, what was I going to give you? I was going to give you a little prayer for something. Oh, what was it? I gave you the prayer for the morning and maybe a little meditation I could give you guys. Why don't we end the night actually with an affirmative prayer in regards to our self-love as well as the seva concept. So let's just finish this call off. We might end just a couple minutes early. But if you're live or when you listen to this recorded, just take a moment, whatever you're doing, unless you're driving, then do not do this. You can listen to it later. But anything else you're doing, just stop for a little bit and get comfortable just for a minute. We're just going to drop in. We're going to do a little bit of the meditation from last week, and we're going to add a little bit on the end for this week. So dropping in, and as you practice meditation, you should be able to get to a place where literally in any moment of the day, you can relax your body, feel any areas of pain, stress, or discomfort, and just flood that area with God's light. Just imagine liquid golden light going to any area in your body that is tense or stressed or just uncomfortable. It's good to have both feet planted on the ground if you can. And the spine as straight as possible, just so you can have the alignment for your lungs to breathe fully and your chakras can stack on top of each other. Just feel as good as you can in that moment. And as you continue to practice meditation, this process of dropping in will become easier and easier. So let's just take a moment in our mind's eye, paying attention gently to our breath, maybe slowing it down a little bit if it's going too fast, just paying attention to the breath. And then in the mind's eye, just allow the first person that pops into your mind that you have an extreme amount of love for. Just let that person pop into your mind, into your mind's eye, and just send them love and kindness, and may all their wishes come true. Just flood them with that God light. As you're giving that God light, that love and light and beauty and kindness to that person, feel how you feel in your body. Doesn't it feel good and juicy and yummy to give that attention and that love to someone? Even if it's just in the mind, energetically, you are giving to another human being. Energetically, you are also receiving that satisfaction, that beautiful energy of giving and receiving, of love. That right now that you're experiencing is being of service. Now, allow that person to fade out of your mind's eye. And now allow the person that you're having an issue with to come up into your mind's eye. Might be a disagreement, might be some unspoken tension, might be something of a grudge from a long time ago, or resentment, or jealousy, or whatever the negative emotion is that you are having with this other person, just allow them to pop into your mind's eye. Don't judge it. Whoever it is, might be the same person as the person you're in love with, and that's fine. Send them love. Love and kindness and God's light. And feel what you feel like gifting this beautiful light. Sometimes while you're watching the person in your mind, their expression on their face changes as you feed them this emotion, this beauty, this love. And now move into the mind's eye as that person fades away. Move into picturing yourself. If you can, remove your mind's eye from your actual body and look down upon yourself from the ceiling. See yourself sitting there on your chair, on the floor, on the couch, whatever you are doing right now, whatever position you're in, just remove yourself from the physical body and look down as if you're just hovering in the ceiling through the eyes of God, look down at yourself. And then look eye to eye with yourself. And send that beautiful, loving kindness. Just stream all of God's love right into you. And you want to talk about some amazing giving and receiving. This is it. Feel what it feels like to give it and receive it all simultaneously. And as you let that vision fall away, allow anybody who pops into your mind to come in. Somebody that you don't know really well, somebody you may not even know their name, somebody you may not even have seen before. Just allow a person to pop into your mind. No judgment on who it is. Don't change who it is. If all of a sudden it's somebody that you know better than you should because it's somebody you're not supposed to know, it doesn't matter. Just let whoever pops into your mind first that you're not really close to pop into your mind and do the same thing. Flood them with God's love. Flood them with the beautiful consciousness of light. May all their dreams come true. Allow that person to fade away, filled with God's love, and remaining in this meditative state, we will move right into our closing prayer for tonight. Let my words be your words. Let our words be all words. Beloved Mother, Father, God, once again we come together with this beautiful modern technology as if we are all sitting in a circle holding hands, soul gazing into one another's eyes. The energy is pure, the energy is clean, the energy is divine. We are blessed and we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the opportunity to know that we are never alone, for the opportunity to know that there are tools and processes and practices for us to recognize who we are and where perhaps we have not invited you in. We are grateful for the opportunity that all we have to do is ask and we shall receive. We are grateful for the opportunity to be the giver, to provide, to be of service, to perform acts of seva, to be and to find our true soul's purpose. This is the magic. This is being a child of God. And for this, we are ever so grateful. As we come to a close of our week two self-love program call, I invite each and every one of you to remember every morning the simple prayer. Beloved Mother, Father, God, show me what to do today. Show me how to be of service, where to go, who to talk to, what to say, how to say it, when to say it. I surrender. I surrender my ego to you now. I am not attached to the outcome. Show me how to be of service. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And so it is. So just slowly come back into your present moment, wherever you are in your home or in your car or wherever you might be listening to this right now, not driving. Come back into the present moment, wiggle your toes and your fingers, stretch out, look at how beautiful the surroundings are around you. Be grateful for your physical body because it's here and it's alive and it's healthy. Be grateful for your mind, your emotions, and be grateful for your beautiful, beautiful, streaming golden light that is constantly coming into you. And remember throughout this week of Seva that you may constantly be giving this beautiful golden light of God to all that cross your path. Thank you so much, beautiful, beautiful brothers and sisters, for being on the call tonight, or thank you for listening at a later time. Thank you for allowing me to do my soul's purpose. And I'm going to go do some more of it in Talking Circle. Have a beautiful night. Don't forget, whether you're a current client of mine or not, you have a 30-minute conference call. You can schedule it any time, whenever you feel like you need a little, either like an evaluation with me or just a little intention setting, motivation. So just text or send me an email and we'll set that up for you guys. Many blessings and much love. Have a beautiful night.